Amen. Well, if you're glad to be in the back in the house of the Lord, say amen. Amen. What a joyous day we have had in the Lord. Amen. God certainly has met with us all day long. And I believe the Lord's got us right where he wants us for these next few moments. Amen. Just trusting the Lord's will be accomplished in this service tonight. Luke chapter number 15. As you're turning there again, let me say I appreciate the wonderful preaching all day long, that which we've heard and has enriched our walk with God. Certainly appreciated Brother Holcomb's message today. Appreciate the challenge and the admonition to know that we are in the end of time. Amen. Things are winding up. And, you know, a lot of times before the event happens, there's been a foreshadowing in Scripture. And sometimes I wonder if when the disciples were in the garden asleep at the end, if that's not a foreshadowing of many of the church body as they prepare for the coming of the Lord. Because the Scripture tells us to be awake, to be awake, to wake up, for the time is at hand. And so we are close to the coming of the Lord. You believe that? Say amen. Amen. There are those that may tell you, get excited, Jesus might come in 3.5 years. I'm not one of those. I'm going to tell you to get right and stay right. That's the way they preached to it when I was coming along. Get right, stay right. Amen. I believe Jesus Christ could come tonight. Amen. I certainly have enjoyed our time here. Thank you for your hospitality, your giving, everything, your kindness. Let's look to the Word of the Lord tonight. Stand with me one more time as we get into the Word of the Lord, the book of Luke, chapter number 15, starting at verse number 11, reading down through the 14th verse. Tell you what, why don't we read this in concert tonight, Luke chapter number 15, starting at verse number 11. If you have it, say amen. Let's read it together. And he said, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Notice a few phrases with me tonight. I know this is a familiar story to you. But notice verse number 13. The Bible said, they're wasted. They're wasted his substance. Verse number 14. The Bible said, when he had spent all. And finally, Jesus said, he began to be in want. Amen. I want to talk to you tonight, if the Lord will be my helper, on the emptiness of sin. The emptiness of sin. Would you pray with me before you're seated tonight? Precious Heavenly Father, come to us right now, Lord. Lay your hand upon me. O Lamb of God, that which you've put in my heart, let me preach it as unto you tonight, Lord. Let it be acceptable. Let it be acceptable in your sight. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, Lord, be as ordained as you would have it to be, O God. Lord, I pray, draw us to this altar tonight. Hallelujah. Captivate us by your Spirit and in God's grace. And in his name we pray. On your way to your seat tonight, why don't you just turn and shake two or three hands. Tell your neighbor it's good to see him in the house of the Lord. The story of the prodigal son. We know it well. We've heard it. We've heard it many, many times from many different pulpits, even in Sunday school class. But yet it seems as if every line in this parabolic teaching of Jesus just glitters with gold for the miner. It seems as if every line just tells the story in a different facet. As we look to this word tonight and this story, I pray God would just open our hearts and our minds one more time to this so powerful, powerful story that a father had two sons, and we know one as the prodigal son. The Bible introduces us quickly to the fact that he's getting ready to make his exodus. And as the old preachers have said so well concerning sin, it'll take you farther than you want to go. It'll cost you more than you want to pay, and you'll stay longer than you planned on staying. And certainly tonight, this prodigal son has his mind made up, and he wants to get out of the father's house. The trouble for me preaching this story is that I can see the faces of the prodigals that I've preached to. I can see the ones that have left the house of God while I've been preaching. Not just the ones that I grew up with that my father was preaching to, but in the 17 years that I've pastored, those that have walked away from God. Some have made it back, but I want to be very clear tonight. To me, I'm grateful for the ending of this story, but in my estimation and in the reality of my ministry, most prodigals never make it back. Borum talks about other endings to the prodigal story. I'm glad for the hope that we have in the story tonight, but friend, know this, that not every prodigal that leaves is going to make it back home. And so as we look to the word of the Lord tonight, Jesus tells us that there is this young man that not many days after he receives his father's inheritance, he goes into a far country and there wastes his substance. And I want you to know and introduce to you tonight the reality, the reason that he is a prodigal is not because that he went away and he come back, but he is a prodigal because a prodigal is a waster. That is exactly the devil's game plan for you tonight, is to waste the things of God in your life. Hear that word, and there he wasted the relationship that he had with his father. He wasted the influence of his father. He wasted his inheritance. He wasted the influence that he could have been upon others. And here's what I know, there's one thing none of us will ever be able to tell, and that's what the story would have been like if he never would have become a prodigal. I'm glad that he made it back, but how many knows he come back with scars? That he come back empty? That he come back different? He went out saying, give me, but he came back saying, make me. He come back just as Naomi did. She went out full, but she come back empty. And you and I will never be able to know what the situation would have been like if he would have never, ever went into that far country. And so, young people, I want to make it very clear to you tonight. I believe that God can reach into the very uttermost depths of sin. And I believe that we ought to preach to whosoever. But I'll tell you, a greater testimony than being pulled out from the darkness of sin is being raised in the house of God. And never knowing what it's like to be drunk, to be addicted to alcohol and nicotine. Amen. A better testimony is this, that you were raised in the church house, that you went to sleep under the pews when the saints of God were shouting, that you were raised in the house of God, that you never went out and you sold your wild oats, but God kept you in the house of the living God. Amen, friend. That's the greatest testimony a man can ever have. I've never tasted of the depths of sin. But notice he wasted. I've watched men waste years. I've watched men waste influence. Those prodigals are wasters. As you study that word, waste, it comes from a Greek word to where we get our word scorpion. The Bible said that he wasted his living riotously. Not just in a party sense, but in a riotous or a many-faceted way. He was all over the place. He was into everything. The Bible tells us he wasted. And as we teach this story of Jesus, it's as if that scorpion of sin had grabbed hold of this prodigal son. Recently, I called one of the pet stores in our town to ask about scorpions. I'm not much of a hunter, a little fisherman, but I know nothing about scorpions. I thought about taking one to the church house as an illustration, but I didn't know if it would probably empty out the church house. Besides the fact he told me that they're $100 now. I like 50-cent illustrations. I don't do $100 illustrations. But I want to talk to you tonight about that scorpion of sin. Verse number 14 is where I want to draw your attention to tonight. The Bible said that when he had spent all, a scorpion, as it begins to descend upon its prey, it's very systematic. And the first thing it does is it takes those tongs, it takes those frontal lobes like a lobster in it, and it grabs its prey. It grabs its prey before it ever stings it, before it ever does anything else. It grabs hold of its prey. I'm going to tell you tonight, I believe this prodigal son was grabbed by what he did not have. The Bible said that he spent all. He didn't spend it all at one time, but he spent a little, and then he spent a little more. The Bible said it was riotous living. It was many faceted. You know what it speaks to me? He went over here and gave a little money and thought he might find satisfaction, and he didn't find it. And so he run over here and he said, I'll get with them a little while, and he spent a little more, and he still wasn't satisfied. And then he run over here and he got with them and he gave a little more, and before long he had spent everything he had, and he was still empty, and he was still searching. He was grabbed by what he did not have. He wanted out of the Father's house. He wanted out of that relationship. He wanted out of that restriction. He wanted out of that refuge. He wanted out of that protection. Friend, I'm going to tell you tonight, on a Saturday night in camp meeting, I'm going to tell you there is a devil, there is a roaring lion that would love to get hold of you, that anything he can get you mesmerized with, anything that he can get you attracted by, anything that gets you out of the Father's house, anything that he can grab hold of, that'll just attract your attention, that all of a sudden you'll say, I don't enjoy being in camp meeting anymore, I don't enjoy the presence of God anymore, I don't enjoy serving God anymore. Amen, friend, it's somebody that has been grabbed. I said grabbed by the scorpion of sin. Oh, but I'm glad this evening that I've been loosed by the hand of Satan. That yes, there is a thief that comes to steal, to kill and destroy. But Jesus said, I'm come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Anybody glad tonight for that life that comes in the name of Jesus? Hallelujah. If I took you to Effingham County, Georgia tonight, you would find a middle-aged man sitting in that county jail that just a few months ago was sitting in my church, but grabbed by sin. If you'd have been in my church the last three Sunday mornings, there's a young lady that I'm working feverishly with to try to keep in the house of God that nobody knows. But three Sunday mornings in a row, I have preached right to her. And I'm begging God just to try to keep her in the house of the Lord. But in all reality, brother, she's been grabbed. She's been grabbed by sin. Her body is still in the house of God, but her heart is already in the world. She's already making arrangements. She's already plotting the course. And such did the prodigal son. He knew where he was going. He knew who he was going to get with. We wonder why they backslide so quick. Hey, friend, they don't backslide quick. They sit there and they plot it in their mind. They plot who they're going to get with, how they're going to do it, and where they're going to go. And we sit around and look and say, what happened? I'll tell you what happened. They were grabbed. I said they were grabbed by the scorpion of sin. I don't know how the devil does it, but he's a master at making God look like a taker and not a giver. Go with me to the original point of sin, where it all got started. And the floodgates of sin were opened into this world. Eve, what happened? Well, God put us in this garden. It was beautiful. It was paradise. It was serene. It was glory. But then along came the serpent. And the serpent pointed to a tree in the middle of the garden. One tree. God gave them the whole garden. But God said, I don't want you to touch that tree. But somehow Satan so mesmerizes our mind, instead of looking around at the goodness of God and the greatness of God and the power of God, we see that one thing that will bring destruction in our life, and we say, why God, why do you withhold that? Why God, can I have that? I've got to do what I want to do. And she rebelled against God. I'm going to tell somebody tonight, amen, God is a good God. I said, God is a good God. I said, God loved you so much, help me, Holy Ghost, that he sent his son to Calvary, and he died on Calvary, that he was put in a borrowed tomb, and he raised on Easter morning, because he loved us. I said, God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, I said, Christ died. I said, he died for me. My God, what love. My God, the precious blood, the spotless blood, the glorious blood. What can wash away my sins? Nothing. Nothing. But I stand redeemed tonight by the blood of Jesus. Somebody lift your hand and give God praise for the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Something to draw us away from the Father's house. He spent all. Notice that pace of sin. He spent it all. Notice the price of sin. He spent it all. Sin will take everything. I can take you to the state of Tennessee tonight and show you a young man who was in my church. He got saved, lasted a couple of years, and had two little boys. They started having marital troubles. And I was trying to help them the best I could. But God is my witness. I knew the last service I had to preach to them. I knew if I and the Holy Ghost didn't arrest them that night, destruction waited. They didn't pray that night. They walked out of that church house. Their marriage didn't make it. He moved to another state. The marriage he got into up there didn't make it. If you'd find that young man tonight, he would tell you how utterly miserable he is. But the sad thing is, when he left, he took two boys with him. I've got a little picture that I carry in my Bible of Pastor Appreciation Service around 2000. It's that young man and his wife and those two little boys. But about 2 years ago, Labor Day weekend, I got a phone call, and that picture that I keep in my Bible, the littlest boy, who was 6 at the time, was then 18. And Labor Day weekend, he decided he didn't have anything left to live for. He went out from his mom's house and decided to go out in eternity. And on Labor Day, I had to talk to that mom and help plan that service. And Brother Jamie Norman, a couple days later, in a little chapel in Pembroke, Georgia, I stood up in front of that crowd and tried to talk about that God is a very present help in time of trouble. But there was that 18-year-old boy laid out, and all I could see was that Sunday night when they walked out of the house of God. I'm going to tell you, friend, your story may not end like that, but I do know this, that when lust is conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, it bringeth forth death. Don't think the devil's got anything good in mind for you. He don't have promotions. He don't have fun. No, sir. He's got one thing in mind. Amen. The soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. Hell will never be satisfied. It cries out for the souls of men. It cries out, give me more. Give me more. Give me more. Satan wants your marriage. He wants your children. He wants your soul. I said he wants everything. He wants to drag you down into the regions of the damned, the doomed, and the dying. But I come to tell you tonight that although sin is empty, there is life-giving power in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. Hell will never be satisfied. You see, he was grabbed. He was grabbed by what he did not have. But you see, that scorpion, once it grabs its prey, then it stings its prey. You see, in my text, he spent it all. He never thought about tomorrow. He never thought about what might come tomorrow. Notice the Bible said there arose a mighty famine. He was stung by what he did not expect. Sin's not going to turn out like you think. Nobody ever wins at the game of sin. Never, ever, ever, never. The soul that sinneth. Did you hear me when I said it 2 minutes ago? The soul that sinneth. It shall hear the word of the Lord. The wages of sin is death. It's inarguable. It's settled. It does not change. Then they always call. I didn't know it'd be like this. Can you meet me at the hospital? What about that young boy that shot himself, and on the way to the hospital he told his family, call Brother Ralston, see if he'll meet us at the hospital. Why then? Why, after Satan has wrecked and ruined their life? Oh, I'm glad for deathbed repentances. I'm glad to pray with them in a jail cell. But I'm going to tell you, you've got no promise that God will meet you on your deathbed. You've got no promise God will meet you in a jail cell. Amen, where I preach it. If you get up from an altar after knowing the shed blood of Christ in the fullness of Calvary and walk out of the house of God, I don't believe God is ever obligated to deal with you one more time. It might be by His grace that He walks into a hospital room. It might be His grace that He walks into a jail cell. But my God, I'm going to stay in the house of the living God. I'm going to stay in the hands of the Almighty. But you're here tonight, Satan's making a pool. Satan's making a pool. You say, well, you're preaching to so-and-so. No, I really felt like I might be preaching that nobody even knows I'm preaching to you. That you got it all covered up. That you got it all laced up tight and nobody knows. Nobody knows the plans you've got. Nobody knows how you've got it all plotted out in your mind. But what you are miscalculating is this,
that famine's coming. You don't have anything to withstand the famine. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know this, I've got Jesus. I said, I've got Jesus. And the songwriter said, as long as I've got King Jesus. Anybody got him in this building tonight? I said, anybody got King Jesus? I said, has he been a friend to you? Anybody that he's been a friend that sticks closer than a brother? Has he been a savior? Has he been a redeemer? I said, is he joy unspeakable and full of glory? Is he the peace of God? I said, isn't it the greatest thing he's ever done? I said, I'm saved. I said, I'm washed in the blood. I'm washed in the blood. I'm washed in the blood. I'm proud of you going on, son. I'm proud of you. Hallelujah. Your sister's singing tonight. I know you've had some hard days. I know you had some tough days. But I want you to know I'm proud of you. Serve God. Serve God. Don't let the devil grab you. Don't let the devil pull you. Tell the devil he is a liar. You're going to heaven. You're covered by the blood. You're covered by the blood. Oh my God, tonight I said many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them. Oh! He was stung. You see, what I found out about that scorpion is this. They're unbelievably patient. However long it takes to track the prey. And however long it takes to devour the prey. They have the ability to slow their metabolism to such a point that they can feast on one insect for an entire year. Satan doesn't care whether you're 16 or 60. He doesn't care whether you're the preacher's daughter or the grandson of the deacon. He doesn't care whether you're in a Christian school or a public school. He doesn't care whether you sing in the choir or you don't sing in the choir. He's trying to grab you. I said he's trying to grab you. And the Bible comes to the conclusion in verse number 14. And he began to be in want. He wakes up to the realization, I have spent everything. I have spent everything. And I don't have anything left. And just like that scorpion paralyzes his prey, some tonight have probably been paralyzed by sin. They've been paralyzed by the scorpion of sin. And you're just unbelievably overwhelmed by what you've given up and by where you're at. You're saying, I used to sing in the choir. I used to feel God. I used to this and I used to that. Here's what the devil will tell you. You can never make it home. You can never get it back. You can never get it back. You can never get it back. But I'm going to tell you, I have found an antidote for the venom of sin. I have found an antidote for those that die in sin. It's the ruby red blood of Jesus. And one drop of that blessed Galilean's blood, it washes all my sins away. There is a fountain. It's filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. I shall plunge beneath that blood and lose all. I want to do something right now. I don't want to embarrass anybody in this building. I don't mean to demean your walk with God in any way whatsoever. But you were a backslider. And you made your way back home. I want you to raise your right arm and just wave it right now. I want you to raise your right arm and just wave it right now. I said, you were a backslider and you made it back home. Come on, wave your hand right now. Wave your hand right now. I want some sinner in this building tonight, when the devil says you can't get back home, I want all these hands that are waving right now. Woo! To tell you, Jesus, I said, is waiting. I said, Jesus, I said, is waiting. Come on right now. I said, come on, come on, come on. Come one, come all. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah, my God in heaven, Jesus. Woo! Hallelujah. Church, pray with me right now. How many would like to see God give us an altar service? How many would like to see God give us an altar service? Whoa! Hallelujah, hallelujah. I said, God can break the fetters of sin. Come on, church, lift your voice. Ask God to give us an altar service. Hallelujah. 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 Glory. Glory. I feel the holy presence of God in this place tonight. I'm talking to you about the emptiness of sin. There's somebody here tonight and you've tried everything the devil's got to offer. You've tried every relationship. You've tried every fad, every fashion. You've been clubbing. You've been bar hopping. You've tried it all and you're still empty. There's something inside of you that cries out, I'm empty. I'm empty. I'm empty. I'm empty. It's the emptiness of sin. But I'm telling you, there is one tonight that calls your name. He's calling you back home. I said, he's calling you back home. Amen. I asked Brother Brim just a second ago. I felt earlier in the service when he was playing his sax. If I got to preach tonight, I just want him to play Amazing Grace on that sax tonight. I just want you to hear those melody notes out of that saxophone. Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. This is how I want to get ready to make the altar service tonight. Amen. You're here. Satan's making a pool for you. Satan's trying to pull you out of the house of God. Satan's trying to pull you away from your family. He's trying to ruin your marriage. Satan's trying to pull you out of this church. But you've come tonight for help. I said you've come for help. And you're ready to come to this altar and let the saints of God get around you and say, God, I've got to have help. I've got to have help. You hear these notes tonight. When you hear those notes, Amazing Grace. If God's dealing with you, I want you to meet me at this altar. Go ahead, Brother Brent. Hallelujah. You're here. You're here. Ah, you're here. He taught all those shots. Hallelujah. That scorpion's got a hold of you. Shake it loose right now. Come on, shake it loose. Shake it loose. Shake it loose. Make a move to this altar right now. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Right now. Right now. Hallelujah. Do it for us, God, on a Saturday night. On a Saturday night. Let somebody have a breakthrough. Let somebody get free. Oh, let a backslider come back home. Glory! Glory! Woo!
me, saith the Lord. And now you know of a surety, I have seen what you thought no one had seen. I know, saith God, what you thought no one knew. But in mercy, I have sent a word to you tonight to deliver thee from the snare of the fowl, from that wicked one that seeks to steal and kill and destroy. If love and mercy I reach, but I ask again tonight for you to rid your heart, and not just the outward manifestation of a show. I ask for that hidden part. I ask for that hidden thing. But if you will bring it to me tonight, if you'll bring it to me at this altar, at this moment, I will wash it clean. I will make it right. And I will restore, saith the Holy Ghost of heaven.
Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank God for this one that's moving right now. Come on, young lady. Come on. Church, I want you to hold steady unless you're coming to pray with this one right now. Help me as I work this altar right now. Help me as I work this altar right now. Come on, the Holy Ghost spoke to us right now. What more is it going to take? What more is it going to take? Come on, there's some young folks. There's some young folks in this building. Come on. Come on, the Holy Ghost has just spoke. The Holy Ghost has just spoke. Come on, right now. You say, well, what are you going to think about me, preacher? What are they going to say? I'm not worried a thing about what anybody says. I'm telling you, we got to make it to heaven. I said, is your heart right with God? Can you go home and lay down tonight and go to sleep in peace? Come on, right now. Come on, don't grieve the Spirit of God. Come on, don't grieve the Spirit of God. Come on right now. The Lord smote your heart. The Lord smote your heart. I don't care your name. I don't care what church you come from. Friend, I don't care anything. I just want to see you in this altar. Come on right now. We need a breakthrough of God's Spirit right now. Come on right now. Come on. Come on. Move toward the altar. Move toward the altar. Oh, my God, my God, my God. I'd love to know the words to say to get you to move. I'd love to know what to say, but I'm just telling you, Jesus is calling right now. Come on, Jesus is calling right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah, come on right now, come on, come on. Oh my God, this is the most important thing right now. I said this is everything right now. Oh, this is everything. Oh my God. I don't feel released. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Come on. Come on. Come on. Preacher, you tried to scare me? Absolutely not. But I'm telling you, I feel something inside of me reaching right now. I feel something reaching. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, some of you got that scorpion. It's got a hold of you. I said, it's got a hold of you. It's got a hold of you. Oh, my God, my God. Oh, God. Oh, God, stay in the Father's house. Stay in the Father's house. Just give me about 45 more seconds. I don't want to put a time limit on it, but I don't want to grieve the Spirit. Come on, God's dealing with you. God's dealing with you. The Holy Ghost said you've got it hidden, but He knows what no man knows. You don't have to tell me, but God told you tonight. He saw it. He saw it, and He's pulling. 30 more seconds, and we're coming to this altar. Come on, you should have already been moving. I said you should have already been moving. I've been on both sides of the fence. I know what it's like just to play church and go through the motions. But I know what it's like to be real.
Oh, there's some of you that are just going through the motions, but I'm telling you, if you get off that fence, I'm telling you, there's joy and peace and power. God's got good things. He's not a taker. I said He's a giver. For God so loved the world that He gave. He's a giver. He's going to give to you tonight, but you got to come. Come on, you got to come. 15 more seconds. We're coming to this altar. 15 more seconds. Are you right with God? Are you right with God? The preacher told us the trumpet's going to sound. Hey, when that trumpet sounds, you're not going to have time to get right. You better be right. Come on, 5 more seconds. 5 more. Hallelujah. 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 And none of us shut. Come on, stand with me all over this building. The devil is a liar. I feel like the devil's losing ground tonight. I said I feel like the devil's losing ground tonight. Oh, glory. I said glory. Glory, glory, glory. Come on, church, come on. Come on, let's get into this altar tonight. Let's pray with these that are praying. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. My God in heaven, my God in heaven. Oh, the blood of Jesus Christ, it cleanses from all sin. The blood of Jesus, it cleanses from all sin. Oh, come now, saith God, and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white like wool. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Whoa, glory!
When I left my father's house, I Woo! Was well supplied. I made a mistake when I left home. I'm dissatisfied. I believe I'll go back home. Oh, I believe I'll go back home. I believe I'll go back home and acknowledge I've done wrong. Oh, what have I gained? Believe what He said. Hunger, thirst, and bare. My Father's house is abounding in wealth. I'm starving to death out here. Oh, I believe I'll go back home. I believe I'll go back home. I believe I'll go back home and acknowledge I've done wrong. Said I'll go back to my Father's house, fall down on my face. Say I'm not worthy to be called thy child, seek a servant place. Oh, I believe I'll go back home. I believe I'll go back home. I believe I'll go back home and acknowledge I've been wrong. He started on his journey, was determined all the way. Come on back, his old friends call, seems I hear him say. No, I believe I'll go back home. I believe I'll go back home. I believe I'll go back home and acknowledge I've been wrong. His father saw him coming and he met him with a smile. He threw his arms around him and he said, my wondering child. Oh, then the father said to the servant, go kill that fatted calf and let us all make merry, for my son's come home at last. I believe I'll go back home. Oh, I believe I'll go back home. I believe I'll go back home and acknowledge I've been wrong. Oh, his father saw him coming and he met him with a smile. He threw his arms around him and he said, my wondering child. Then the father said to the servant, go kill that fatted calf and let us all make merry, for my son's come home at last. I believe I'll go back home.